You're tuned in to Agriculture Today. We have yet to talk at any length about our subject next, which is an element in the soil, or can be an element used for soil improvement, but is largely misunderstood, so we're told now by our guest. She is a soil management specialist with K-State Research and Extension, Deanne Presley, and in fact, she's been answering a few questions lately about gypsum and its purpose in the soil. And just to it, Deanne, why has this topic come up of late?
Well, I think there's a few reasons. So gypsum is a product that's been used for probably several hundred years in agriculture, if not thousands, but it's a mineral, much like limestone, and both form in similar environments. That is, they're both evaporite minerals. So they form from sedimentary rocks, or rocks where limestone we think of as a rock. Gypsum is also a rock, but it can crystallize. And so that's actually what prompted me to come in and talk to you today, is because I saw an outcrop of gypsum in its crystal form, selenite, in Hodgman County earlier this week. And so the other reason this is kind of a current event is because there's a byproduct of the coal power plant industry called FGD gypsum. So that stands for flue gas desulfurization. So desulfurization, pulling or scrubbing the sulfur out of the smokestacks as coal is burned to produce electricity, well, that has a valuable byproduct, which is gypsum, mineral gypsum. It has a regular structure, calcium sulfate.
And that latter aspect, you're going to be researching for its value as a soil conditioner. More on that in a moment. But distinguish, if you will, between limestone or lime and gypsum. They have some similarities, but they're certainly not exactly the same.
That's right. So lime is calcium carbonate. So, and it tends to be, it is about 200 times more, or I'm sorry, less soluble. So gypsum is the more soluble one. The difference between lime and gypsum has to do with pretty much just one element in the middle, and that's whether we have carbon in the middle of it or sulfur. So lime is calcium carbonate, so CaCO3. And gypsum is calcium sulfate, so CaSO4. And so that CO3 in there is really important. The carbonate molecule, or carbonate part of that, when it dissolves in the soil, neutralizes acidity. So it joins with the acid in the soil, which is the hydrogen ions, and then the byproducts of that are carbon dioxide and water. Mm-hmm. Okay. Calcium sulfate's different. It is more soluble, but when it forms, it disassociates into calcium, which is a plant nutrient, and sulfate, which is also can be used by plants. So people often think, well, that must acidify the soil, and it does not. Mm-hmm. It does not do that. So calcium sulfate, it does not acidify that. Well, the confusion over that acidification has to do with the fact that elemental sulfur, which is just S, just plain old sulfur, comes in a bag, usually yellow. That does neutralize soil, and that's because when it dissolves, it's looking to become more stable. So it does change forms, and it does acidify. So just to review, calcium carbonate lime neutralizes soil. That is, makes it more basic, right? Mm-hmm. Which we do in agriculture all the time. Right. Gypsum, calcium sulfate, does not change pH. And elemental sulfur, S, decreases pH.
So. And that's part of the message you want to get across, that gypsum cannot serve as an adequate substitute for adjusting pH as an alternative to either lime or sulfur.
Right. Yep. There's only a couple reasons why we might consider adding gypsum to soil in Kansas. So first of all, and this is probably the most common usage of gypsum in Kansas, would be to reclaim a sodic soil. Sodic soils are high in sodium. So sodium chloride is another mineral. It's actually in its mineral form. It's called halite. So what they mine, you know, by Hutch is called halite. We don't want that in our soil at all because that causes our soil to, it has very poor physical properties. Water won't go into a soil like that. Well, if we use gypsum and we mix that in with the soil, and if the sodium can get flushed out, that's how we reclaim it. And that works very, very well. So that's usually more on a limited kind of a spot basis, you know. So gypsum can also be used on a non-sodic soil. So if you need calcium or you need sulfur, and because of that flue gas desulfurization that we're doing, we're actually starting to see less sulfur being deposited, you know, through in rain around the state. So if you need sulfur, gypsum is a great source of that. It's a fairly inexpensive source of sulfur versus getting it in like a liquid fertilizer format. Okay, then the other one, and this is what my research is really about, is using gypsum as an agricultural amendment to improve soil physical properties. So calcium, you know, that part of the structure, calcium sulfate, the calcium is very good at flocculating clays. So when I say flocculating, what that just means is clumping the clays together into aggregates. So improving the aggregation of a soil, especially right at the surface, to get more water in. Now, how well does that work? How much do we need? Do we already have enough calcium in the soil anyway? That's what I'm working on, and we're about to harvest our corn next week from our first year of a study using flue gas desulfurization gypsum. So don't have any results on that for you yet, but I can tell you results from other places have shown, you know, if it is a clayey soil that is low in calcium, it might do something. But there's some ifs there. Won't help a sandy soil, won't help a silty soil, and if you've got plenty of calcium there anyway, probably won't change that.
But it could allow for more permeability in those tighter soils, and we know what that could lead to in terms of crop productivity potentially. That's where you want to take this in the ultimate.
Yeah, that's right. And also we will be doing our yield on the corn. And again, like I said, it's a good source of sulfur. So if you have a sulfur deficiency, and right now flue gas desulfurization gypsum is being sold under the trade name Gypsum out of, it's being marketed by them, but it's ultimately coming from the Westar Energy Plant east of Manhattan, Jefferies Energy Center. So it's a reuse, it's a beneficial reuse of an industrial byproduct. And so, you know, that's got, you know, good implications because the alternatives are having mountains of this sitting around or putting it in landfills, taking up space. Now, some of it will be used in industrial things like, roadbeds, bridges, things like that. But, you know, the idea is if we need calcium and sulfur, let's go spread this on fields. And you might be thinking about environmental implications. What else is in the gypsum? Well, that is regulated by the Kansas Department of Health and Environment and the Kansas Department of Agriculture. So they are looking at what's in that material. And so far, there are trace elements of different things. Mercury is one that has to be regulated very tightly. Mercury is something that's very hazardous to human health, and so it's currently meeting the standards for, you know, that. So, and those elements, those heavy metal elements like mercury, where those would come from is out of the original coal itself. So, you know, just leave you with the thought that it is regulated and it would not be permitted if it was high in mercury to be spread.
And one additional thought here, and maybe this is yet part of your research in that you're just on the front edge of this work, but is there a notion as to whether this byproduct gypsum could be a long-term correction of, say, really tight soils?
Well, you know, the reason that a soil might be low in calcium is perhaps it's been removed. So if we're removing large amounts of calcium from soils, I guess this could be a way of sort of putting back. I always think of taking and giving in agriculture. If we can't take forever without having to put it back. So I'm not sure I know the answer to that, how long this would last, but I can tell you that gypsum is probably not going to be something that's added every year. Spreading cost kind of controls that. So there's a great reference on this written by some researchers and extension people at Ohio State called Gypsum's Use as an Agricultural Amendment. And they go over these different rates that you might want to use. If you are looking for the more of the soil conditioning, that could be a 2 or maybe even up to a 4-ton one-time application. But if you're looking for it as a sulfur source, that might be 1 to 300 pounds per acre. So, you know, that rate could be variable. And so, again, spreading costs, if it costs the same amount per acre, well, then I'd probably go with the higher rate, you know, spreading cost-wise. So, because I think that is one of the higher costs associated with this.
In any event, the main point here, understand producers the difference between limestone or lime gypsum, sulfur, how they suit potentially different needs in soil amendment and soil content. And there is a fine article in the latest Agronomy e-update newsletter on this very topic. Gypsum versus lime, facts about those as minerals and as soil amendments. And you can get a look at that at agronomy.ksu.edu, the e-update newsletter dated this past Friday, September the 20th. Deanne, we appreciate the insight on this. Thank you.
Thank you.
And talking over again, gypsum as an element in the soil and how that might be considered as a soil management tool. That's Deanne Presley, a soil management specialist with K-State Research and Extension. Well, the new Wildlife and Outdoor Enterprise Management Program here at Kansas State has been host in recent days to a couple of national leaders in the area of wildlife management. And you'll hear from another of those after the break, perhaps the world's top authority on deer management. So stay with us. You're listening to the K-State Radio Network.